Holy Gospel for today is recorded in Mark, the first chapter. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath had come, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astounded at Jesus' teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching. With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. And as soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and her fever left her, and she began to serve them. Well, today is a healing day, as you've heard a little bit of, and the Christian church from early on has always been known as a community of healing. In the first centuries, people were drawn to the Christian faith because of the power of healing that they experienced, and that as Jesus commanded his disciples to heal, if you remember. So that healing ministry has continued through the centuries in the founding of hospitals, most of which were named like St. Luke, St. John's, Trinity Hospital, right? And then there's residential care facilities and alcohol and drug treatment centers. And for us here at Lord of Life, pastoral care ministries. We do a lot of healing ministries right here. And in fact, some of you may be here who are some of our healing ministers who do hospital visitation. We have people who do home visitation for our homebound members. And we have companion ministers who walk with people who are going through a tough time in their lives. And all those things, along with our prayer ministry, we have this e-prayer group. You can be prayed for within minutes of asking by a whole bunch of people. Isn't that good news? All of that is part of our ministry of pastoral care and healing here at Lord of Life, when people join with our pastors to bring the light of Christ to bear on all sorts of dis-ease in people's lives. So today we're blessed to hear from one of our longtime members, Bobby McGuire. He's rolling himself on down here. About his journey of healing from a life-threatening condition he had for several months ago.
And, several months.
Bobby, thanks for sharing with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and this is much better than the video last service, the real thing in
yes.
the flesh. Tell us a little bit. Yeah, you've been through quite an ordeal here for over a year. Life-threatening, really. It was really dangerous at first. Tell us your story about what happened.
Well, briefly, it started in December of 16. I had a staph infection in my neck, was rushed to the hospital, went septic, finally got stabilized, and then did an emergency surgery on my neck to repair two vertebrae in my neck, which left me paralyzed from the neck down at that time.
Because you had MRSA that ate the vertebrae, right?
Yes, MRSA in the vertebrae.
Yeah.
So that was December 8th of 16, and I was paralyzed from the neck down. Now today, you see, I'm not paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah. And now things have been slowly improving.
Yes.
And to the point where you can stand up for how long now?
Well, I set a new record yesterday,
yeah.
Friday. I stood up for 51 seconds.
Very good.
Unassisted.
Awesome. So. Well, Bobby, I don't know if you remember this. I know you do. While you were at Conroe Hospital at one point, in the midst of the worst part of this, when you didn't know what was going to happen, I asked you a question. I asked you, so where is God in all this you're going through? And do you remember what you answered me?
Well, since we've talked several times now, remember. I said, yes, God is with me.
God is with me right here. Yeah. That kind of blew me away. You said he's with me right here.
Yes, and he's been with me every day since.
Wow. That's pretty powerful because, you know, a lot of people going through health crises like this, they'll ask, why is God doing this to me? Did you ever find yourself asking yourself that question?
Strangely enough, no, I didn't.
Really?
No.
How come?
I knew God was with me, and who am I to question?
Oh, wow.
And so just put my faith been with me every day.
Okay, all right. And there was a prayer. How did you talk to God during this time?
Through prayer.
Yeah.
But there was a little saying that I said every day and multiple times a day, Lord, I will not worry because I know you're with me always and forever. Just like that. And that's still how I open my prayers every day.
Okay. All right. Well, so was there a time, especially when you sensed God was really active in your healing?
There were multiple times, and mostly it was very little things. But one particular time, I had a bed sore I got when I was in the ICU, which caused me a great length of time in healing. Mm-hmm. And the surgeon that was treating it at the time said that I needed to have my protein numbers up to 30, and all my protein numbers were to 8. So most well people don't have 30. So I was upset. She left, and I laid down, and I was crying, and then I started to pray, and then I must have gone to sleep while I was praying, because when I woke up, there was a lady standing by my bed, somebody who wasn't present when the surgeon did this. She was the nutritionist there in the hospital. She said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm not." Long story short, I told her the story, and within an hour, there was another surgeon in the room and said, "If we can get your numbers up to 13, we'll do the surgery." Well, the numbers came up to 13 very quickly, and we did the surgery. And at that point, really started the healing process. You have to get the wound healed before you can get into physical therapy. So,
wow. Yeah. So just in moments like that, you sensed, because you told me that when you were praying, normally you weren't praying for healing. What were you praying for?
Guidance. Okay. You know, keep me positive, keep me happy. Yeah. Never specifics of, hey, I want to walk again, or God knows I want to walk again.
Absolutely. Did your family think you were nuts for not praying for more?
Some of my family's not as easy to convince like that, but they're family anyway.
Well, in the journey, I know you've been a man of faith your whole life. You and Charlene have been, you know, Christians your life. How has this impacted on your faith, this whole ordeal you've been through? What's it done in terms of your faith journey?
Well, like you said, we were both raised in a Christian family. Mm-hmm. My kids were raised in a Christian family. So, you know, it was just what we did from birth. Mm-hmm. But since this happened, I believe my relationship with God is much, much stronger now than it was. And the relationship with my family and God is very strong as well.
Wow, that's great. Okay, all right. So, you know, I'm hearing this real clear. It's like you keep on going, God, I will not worry because I know you're with me always.
And forever.
Wow, yeah. Well, what would you say about the importance of pastoral counseling for a congregation like Lord of Life? You know, you've been involved in it a little bit. What would you say about the importance of this?
I think it's very important. You know, I was one of the lucky ones. I have family that were with me every day throughout the, well, they missed a couple of days during the hurricane, but I forgave them. But along with that, we had visitors from the church, and I think it's very important because not everybody is lucky as I am that has family that's willing or even close enough to come and be with you every day. So to have a church family come and visit is vitally important.
Okay. last week.
Besides that, they brought cookies when they came.
That doesn't hurt. Last week when we talked this over, we were talking about what we're going to do. I told you I'm not ready to ask you this question yet because I think it's too soon, but I'll ask you later. And you said to me, "Well, I know what you're going to ask," and the answer is yes. What did you think I was going to ask you?
To help with the care and the ministry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're willing to get trained up to be a pastoral caregiver once you get through this thing?
Absolutely. I think people need to hear this story.
Yeah.
More than 10 minutes worth.
Yes. And in fact, we may do a whole series on health and wellness in the fellowship hall down the line, and we'd love to have you and Charlene come and share your whole experience.
Yes, because it is important to see that somebody was paralyzed from the neck down, and now I'm standing for not very long, but I'm standing.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for people to know that, because everybody in here and everybody is going to face some adversity during their lifetime. And it doesn't help it's not this bad, but you can get through it.
All right, great. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. It's been incredible to just walk through this with you, and thank you for that.
Thank you.
And in the Gospel of Mark, things happen immediately. We've talked about this a little bit. As I mentioned in my annual report to y'all, the word immediately shows up 40 times in the Gospel of Mark and 6 times right in this chapter of the Gospel story I just shared with you about these healings, etc. And so here is Jesus. He doesn't waste any time in Mark. He gets baptized. He gets tempted by the devil and gets tempered by that. He calls some disciples and he gets busy. And what's the first thing he does after he announces his mission is this. He says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." What's he do the very first thing? He heals people. Something very practical, very real, sign that the power of God is present. And that is what we still experience today. And so when we are doing pastoral care, when you start doing it with us here, Bobby, we have to remember God's healing is going on through our ministry, our support, our care for one another, right? It's going on. And God's healing is always for a purpose, like you're talking about, to get us back on our feet. And this is a funny story at the end where Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother of a fever. What's the first thing she does? She gets up and cooks supper for everybody. And that's what I'm hearing from you. I'm being healed for a purpose.
Yes.
And every time that any of us experiences this challenges in life and we find ourselves being healed, we're called to step up and be healers with the gifts that God has given us. And so, because you know what? The time is right. The healing power of God in Jesus Christ has broken into our world. And so we're called to believe it and live it. So thanks for sharing with us. And let's thank Bobby for
sharing this story. Thank you. Thank you, Gary.